But perhaps we could turn again in God's precious word to the Gospel of John chapter 8 for a scripture reading this evening. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 18. The Gospel of John chapter 8, beginning our reading at verse 18. Hear the word of God. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, Ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, that he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, that for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, and as he spake these words, believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. My text is in verse 21-24. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Let's just unite together in a word of prayer afresh. Our loving and our gracious God in heaven, we come to thee, we think of the solemn words that are uttered by our Saviour in thy word this evening. We pray, our God, that even as we come to look of them, that the solemnity of thy word might be brought into the hearts of those that are under the sound of her voice. We pray, our God, that the speaking voice of God might be heard in a great way as we come to worship thee tonight, as we gather around thy word. We look to thee for thy grace. Bless us and be with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus is speaking here to the Pharisees. You will think of the wonderful and astonishing testimony that the Lord Jesus has given to these men. Look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And when you think about it, that's perhaps one of the greatest statements that has ever been made. And yet we find that the Jews, instead of embracing what the Lord Jesus had to say, began to question and to scorn him and to mock him. Look at what it says in verse 13 of the chapter. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. So they dismiss the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ out of hand. With all the miracles that they had seen, with all the wonder of the words of the Lord Jesus and the mighty power that he had displayed, Here they were, and they were willing to just dismiss out of hand all that the Saviour had to say. They said what he said unto them was not true. And they dismissed him, and they opposed him, and they mocked him. And it comes to the point now where the Lord Jesus declares their doom. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And if you continue to reject God and turn your back upon God, there comes a time when God will declare that there is no remedy for you. You know, the standing problem with man is the problem of the Pharisees here. Man dismisses what God has to say out of hand. Man dismisses what the Word of God declares without even thinking, without even considering, without ever even really taking these things upon them. And these men rejected the Lord and what he had to say. And it is no different 2,000 years later. And this is the problem of man. This is why so many people are not Christians. They never think. They never take time to consider what the Lord has to say on his word. And the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus, and it tells us that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He gave himself as a ransom. He went to the cross. We think of how he went about doing so many good things. And yet these religious men, and these men who should have known better, and these men who had a knowledge of the Word of God, spurned and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see what the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees here. Look at verse 31. It says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way." And verse 21, "I go my way," this is the text, "and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Now, how solemn that is. Ye shall die in your sins. One of the things that people don't want to think about today is death. One of the things that people will hide their heads in the sand over is death. People will think about so many things. But one of the reasons why so many people do not come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is they never think about death and where they will spend eternity. Death is an enemy. The Lord Jesus here warns in verse 24. He says that if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And what an awful thing it would be for anyone under the sound of my voice, or anyone at all, to die in their sins. If that should be your fate, if that should be the end of your life, that you die in your sins with no remedy. Dear friend, isn't it about time that you began to think about these things and to consider the warning that the Lord Jesus here so graciously left so that you might turn to him and find him as your Saviour? So for a few minutes tonight, at the end of our meeting, I want us to consider the stern warning of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a number of things in the portion of Scripture that I want you to see. The first thing that I want you to see is the departure that is stated. You notice what the Lord says here. He says, "I go my way." He says to these Pharisees, "I'm going away. I'm going my way." And I want you to see that in those words, there is a purpose intended. The Lord says with determination here, with resolve, "I go my way." Here they were mocking him. Here they were rejecting him. And the Lord Jesus says, "No, I go my way. I'm going to leave you now. I'm going to leave you behind." And he says, "I go my way." But I want you to think about the purpose of his going. You see, as he went his way was the way of death. His way was the way that went to the cross.
When he was going his way, it was going to lead to his being put upon that tree there on Calvary's brow, on Golgotha's hill. He was going to be put upon the cross. And we think of how in the book of Genesis, it speaks about the descendant of Adam who will reverse the curse. And there it is going to be fulfilled. You think of that first gospel promise. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And the purpose of the Lord Jesus now, he was going his way to fulfill all of that. You think of the Old Testament sacrifices. You think of the blood of the lamb, and the blood of the goat, and the blood of the bull that was shed for the redemption of the sins of the people. And all of that blood shedding, and the Lamb of God that was at the Passover, all pointed forward to the blessed Lamb of God who had come to take away the sin of the world. And when the Lord Jesus says, I go my way, there's where he was going. He was going to the cross. And my, what love there is in that. The Bible says that without shedding of blood, there is no remission. We think of the sins that put our Savior on the tree. And the problem with you and me is that we are sinners by nature and sinners by practice, and our sins need to be dealt with. When the Lord was born, the angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. And his purpose here, he was going his way to die on the cross, to make the way by which sin could be dealt with, to cleanse men in his own precious blood. You think of what the Lord said in John chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he must be lifted up if there is going to be a remedy for sin. He must be lifted up if we are going to be free. He must be lifted up if we're going to be saved. He must be lifted up if we're going to go to heaven. And the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the Lord had to die on the cross in order that you might have eternal life. The Bible says he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And when he says, I go my way, that's the way that he was going. He was leaving these Pharisees. He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to the place of the cross. And he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem and to die in your room and stead and mine. And there's hope. And there is mercy. Because the Lord Jesus went his way. He says, I go death. But he went his way. It was the because he did not stay on the cross. And he did not stay under the thrall of death. But up from the grave he arose with that mighty triumph for his foes. And the Bible speaks of how through death, who has the power of death, that is the devil, and he destroyed the power of death, and he destroyed the power of the devil. The child of God can look death in the face and can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Can you today, can you look death in the face today? And can you say you have victory over death? You have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are saved today have victory, because our Savior, his offering was accepted, and death could not hold him because he had the victory over death. And you can have victory over the devil, victory over sin, victory over death today in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I go my way, it's the way of death. I go my way, it's the way of victory. But also, he says, I go my way, and that's the way of glory. Because where was he going in the end? Well, we read after he had been risen from the dead, after 40 days he ascended up to heaven. And there he is at the right hand on the Father. Death could not keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with that mighty triumph over his foes. And now he is seated at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for me. He's gone to heaven. Dear friend, if you ever want to be with him in heaven, then you've got to go his way. You've got to go his way. And dear friend, you've got to trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. The purpose intended, he says, I go my way. It's the way of death. It's the way of victory. It's the way of glory. But then, not only is there the purpose intended, but the parting intended. Because in many ways, when he said to these Pharisees, I go my way, he's waving them goodbye. He's saying farewell. He's saying to them, I go my way. Goodbye. I won't be with you anymore. What a solemn thing. If the Lord Jesus was ever to say to you, I go my way. Oh, the Lord may be speaking to you now, but the Lord would say, I go my way. The Lord may be dealing with you now, but what if the Lord was to say, I go my way? You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There comes that time when God says, I go my way. You've mocked me, you've scorned me, you've rejected me, you have turned your back upon me, you've accused me of telling lies the way that these Pharisees said. And then there comes the time when God says, I go my way, the way of parting. What if God was to part from you and leave you in your sin and leave you in your helpless and hopeless condition? What if God was to do that to you? If you were to hear the words tonight and maybe God is speaking, he's saying, I go my way. Oh, call out to him as blind Bartimaeus did. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't let him go away. But cry unto him for mercy and for salvation this evening. There is the departure that is stated. But then I want you to see there's a desire that is spoiled. He says, I go my way and ye shall seek me. And what he meant by that is that the Jews would continue to seek for a Messiah. Even though the Messiah had come in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this day the Jews are still seeking for a Messiah. They are still looking for their Messiah to come. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So they're still looking for a Messiah. But they're looking for him in the wrong place. And the Lord said, ye shall seek me, but you'll not find me. You see, they were looking for the wrong thing. They were looking in the wrong place. And they were looking for the wrong person. And they weren't going to find him. You know, if you were sent out to look for somebody, if you were sent out at a search party, say some little child had gone missing or something, and if you were given the wrong description of the child, you're hardly going to find them. If you were sent to the wrong place, you're not going to find them. Dear friend, you've got to have the right description, you've got to go to the right place. And there are many people, and they are looking for the Lord, but they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking in religion, like these Pharisees. And these Pharisees were caught up in the religious rules and regulations and all the rest of it. And the Lord was critical. They were preaching religion. And they wanted their Messiah to conform to their rules and regulations and what they thought. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and he revealed himself to them and they rejected him. Are you doing the same? You know, here was people and they were looking for a Christ of their own devising. And how many people are doing that? A Christ who will wink at your sin. A Christ who will let you do the things that you're doing now. A Christ who will enable you to be involved in the kind of habits that are bringing you down to hell. You know, that's what we're told today. They say about us that preach the gospel and proclaim the word of God that we're preaching hatred. Oh, we want a gospel of love. A God will wink at our sin. Dear friend, you can't have that. You've got to have the Christ of the gospel. And you see what the Lord Jesus Christ preached. You know, at the start of the chapter, we read about the woman taken in adultery. And you remember how the Lord said to the men who were accusers, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And those that want a kind of Christ who will wink at sin will say, "There, oh, well, there you are. He didn't condemn her." Ah, but what did he go on to say? He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He put his finger on her sin. She had to deal with her sin. And you remember what he had said to the Pharisees just moment before. He said, "He that is without sin, let him first cast the stone at her." And you see how bold the Lord was to point out their sin. And people who heard that kind of message today would say, "Oh, what an awful man pointing out our sin, telling us that we're sinners. Oh, us righteous people, us upright religious people, we don't sin." That's the attitude of the Pharisees. But the Lord said to those people, "He that is without sin, let him first cast the stone at her." And that's the kind of Christ he was. He points out sin. He deals with sin. Dear friend, I want you to see that it is possible to seek Christ and not find him. Here were these people, and they were going to look for a Messiah, look for the Christ, but they weren't going to find him. They weren't going to find him. And you know, there are those people who have been abandoned, as it were, who have lost out, have hardened their hearts, and they've rejected the Lord time out of number. And now, dear friend, their hearts have become hardened before him. Maybe you've been looking for salvation and looking for something that will assuage your sin or will deal with your guilt. You're looking in the wrong place. Maybe you've been looking to ceremonies and penances and all of these things. Dear friend, here, I want you to hear the gospel. You can't find it in any of these things. Dear friend, you've got to look for the Savior. You have to see the one who died on the cross and shed his blood and is the true Redeemer of man. And dear friend, here he says to these people, "I go my way and you seek me." Oh, you're seeking tonight. Oh, you've been looking, asking questions. But it's not enough to seek. You've got to find him. And I tell you where you'll find him. You'll find him in his word. He says, "Repent, turn to me, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." There is such a thing as a settled habit of resisting light and knowledge. Dear friend, you can be set in that kind of resistance. You know, it says in Proverbs 1, verses 28 and 29, "They shall call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Is that you? Such cases are not common, but they exist. You can seek without finding. But there's something else I want you to see in this portion. There's a death that is solemn. Look at what it says again. "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and die, and shall die in your sins." Now here's the truth that you need to face. One of the reasons why a lot of people have never sought the Lord Jesus Christ is that they do not think of death. And they do not think about the fact that you might die in your sin. That you might die in your sin. You know what it means if you die in your sin. You die without hope. You know, the writer to the Ecclesiastes It said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living shall lie at the heart. And you know, you might think, well, preacher, you're being very morbid this evening, thinking about death. You know, there are times when you need to think about death. You think about all sorts of things and make all sorts of provisions. But you ever think about this? I was listening to a sermon by Martin Lloyd-Jones when he preached on the text that we have here. And he preached his message in 1960. And he made a very interesting point. He was preaching at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, when people were very concerned about nuclear missiles and whether there was going to be a nuclear war and whether they were going to be killed by a nuclear missile. And there were marches in the streets and there were protests, and thousands of people were protesting against the danger of death. And Martin Lloyd-Jones made this point. He said they're concerned about the mode of death. Oh, they're so concerned in case they might be killed by a nuclear missile. He says they're so concerned about the way they might die, but they're not at all concerned about where they might be if they die. And it's the same today. People are concerned about coronavirus. They're caught up with what coronavirus might do, or how they might catch coronavirus, and if they might die an awful death. But dear friend, if you caught for coronavirus, where would you be in eternity? People are out on the streets protesting about the death of the black man, Floyd, and they are concerned about that. And they're protesting about the police brutality in Minneapolis and so on. And you know, they're concerned about the death of that man, and quite rightly was wrong. But dear friend, they're concerned about the mode of death. Well, what about eternity? And what about eternity for you? Dear friend, death is solemn. The Lord Jesus said, ye shall die in your sins. And you know, there are two ways you can go. You can die in your sins, or it says in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 about those that die in the Lord. Now, which will it be for you? You can die in your sins without hope, without comfort, or you can die in hope, and you can die in the Lord, and you can die with that blessed hope of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see the consequences of dying in your sins is to die without hope, and to die without comfort. But look at also the cause of dying in your sins. It's unbelief. Look at verse 24. He said, I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And the reason why you die in your sins is you do not believe. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. But what an awful thing. To die in your sins. To die in your sins. Well, think about it, sinner. If you should die in your sins. But there's one more thing that I want you to see. And that is a decision that is settled. Because unhappily, this is not all, because it says in the text, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Whether I go, ye cannot come. And I want you to see how clearly the Lord discerns the hearts of these people. And he comes down in judgment and he says, whether I go, ye cannot come. Now I want you to see the finality of that. I want you to see the decisiveness of that. It doesn't say, whether I go, ye may not come. It doesn't say, if only... this is a matter of ability, or there is a possibility, but he says they cannot come. In his anger, in his wrath, God makes
the pronouncement. We read in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 4, the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. The people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Ye cannot come. There's no second chance. No way out. No escape. Whither I am, ye cannot come. Will you be one of those people? Will you be one of these people that cannot come? Dear friend, man or woman, if you do not believe, if you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then at the end there will be that great gulf fixed between you and him. You cannot come. Child of God, do you know any people like that? Then pray for them with all your heart. But look at this lesson. This lesson is a painful one here in this portion of Scripture. Here is a man without religion, without hope, without comfort, without anything. Whether I come, whether I go, ye cannot come. And if you die in your sins, that's it. That's it. That's why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you die in your sins, you cannot go to him. You cannot be in heaven. So repent. Turn to him. Call upon him for mercy and for salvation. May you do so for his name's sake. God has spoken to you. Then write a comment in the comment section or private messages, or there is contact details on www.crossgarfbc.org, and we want to give literature to you or to help you in any way that we can, but we want you to come to know our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow and pray. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we pray that thou wouldst part us with thy blessing now, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with thy people, both now and in the incoming days, for Jesus' sake. Amen.